This is the Don and Mike Show. Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once per 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
And here's the pitch. It's going, going. And like America's credibility on the world stage, that ball is gone.
Fresh corn on the cob is irresistible, especially at Safeway's low prices. This week we got Washington grown Canada number one corn on the cob, highly priced at three cops for 88 cents. Doing it right. Sorry about this. I didn't know it was... ...and goddamn Whitey produced f***ing commercials never come out the right way. Okay. Safeway's got everything. It's 88 cents for the corn and everything you need for a super summer barbecue. Charcoal, starter, napkins, and paper plates at Brockett Safeway.
And the way Hansel combs his hair?
Well, like, doesn't. It's like, excuse me, but have you ever heard of styling gel?
I'm sure Hansel's heard of styling gel. He's a male model.
Well, Earth to Prince, I was making a joke.
Earth to Mikis, duh, okay. I knew that.
Earth to Prince, I'm not so sure you did, because you were all, well, I'm sure he's heard of styling gel. Like you didn't know it was a joke.
I knew it was a joke, Mikis. I just didn't get it right away.
You're in disgrace.
Now we save time to do one more because a good friend of ours is here today. This guy, as you all know him now, you might think this is just a private thing happening up here in D.C., but let me tell you something. The Don and Mike Show is the biggest show around the whole United States. Wherever we go, we turn on a radio. There they are down in Orlando, up here in D.C. And we got the guy himself who actually played tambourine on Midnight Confessions in 1968. I'm telling you, Don Geronimo's here. He's going to come out and play it with us right now. Don, where are you? Yeah, you're gonna play?
So nice to see you again, Rob, as we did back in 68. And with me...
Serving Middle Tennessee with 5,000 watts of fun power. This is WMAK Nashville.
A member of the ever-growing Rooney Broadcasting Corporation.
7:30 in the New Gritty Capital City with your star on the radio. Heavy group out of Louisville. Bugbees, and that's you and I. 29, Super 5 from the Super Summer Survey.
Super Summer, WMAK.
7:33. Tony Joe here to work his show.
Signing on the air. This is WHTZ. New York.
It's time to wake up.
Z100 WHTZ.
Second beer.
Stop it now.
I didn't see Big Pussy Gilman. All right, sit up. All of a sudden, Gilman wants to get into the mix here. No, I didn't see Big Pussy. He was the only one I didn't see. You see Big Pussy? Did you see Big Pussy? Well, then don't ask me if I saw him.
Just people.
Pee Wee Herman had a farm, E-I-E-I-O, with a and a here, a, there, a, everywhere. Pee Wee Herman had a farm, E-I-E-I-O.
Ah! Hello?
Hi. I know, look.
Not a word.
word, not a note. What kind of person are you?
I'm sorry.
You need help. You're seriously f***ed up.
I got kids. I couldn't live without them.
It was the f***ing life you couldn't live without. The gambling, the money, who knows what else?
You're right. I didn't want to drag you down into this pit on me.
Everybody else is stupid to you, aren't they?
No.
You can throw your weight around down there in Jersey. Everybody kisses your ass.
I miss you.
I don't want to know. I don't want to hear your voice. Don't ever call me again.
You stupid. I'm going to punch your eyes out. I'm going to burn the house down. I'm going to cut you up with a razor knife.
Evidence of roach contamination, mice excrement, fallen tiles.
Those are the things that scare us.
Fox 5's hidden cameras expose health violations in school cafeterias.
Those are lost for words.
Could your child's school be serving up filth? On Fox 5 News.
What are you doing, you effing little bitch?
You're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
I'm enjoying your show very much in regard to the topic of circumcision. I was in Washington, D.C., and I heard an interview on the radio by a Dr. Robert Spiewak. I don't know if any of you are familiar with him. He's in the forefront of the anti-circumcision movement, and I heard him on an interview on the Don and Mike show, and he contends that the actions against circumcision here in this country were started by men that were totally into ass play. And that simply because there are just a lot of men that like to stick this
Okay. You know anything about this?
I know nothing about that. What was the name of this doctor?
It's Dr. Robert Spiewak.
And he says that he's against circumcision?
He's actually for circumcision because he states that later on in life, if you're not circumcised, many men develop health problems.
Well,
for example, penis cheese and things like this.
He's clearly uninformed, and to say that this is this springs forth from simply from the gay movement, who had the opportunity to see one penis after another and began to see the extensive scars.
He actually has a pretty informative newsletter that I get by email. I think it comes out once a month. It's entitled "Leave My Penis Alone."
Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for that caller. Okay.
Hey.
Boy, am I in love.
Look, it's Mike.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Mike.
He's alive. He's alive.
Oh, boy, am I ready for you today, friend.
No. Glad to be here.
Hold on, wrong one. Hold on, that's... There we go. Oh, Mike, here's your favorite part.
Monitor me.
The following takes place between 3 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Or between 2 and 6, 1 and 5 out in Colorado. West Coast, noon till 4.
The Don and Mike Show.
T-Rex.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Hello.
Hi, Julia. Bang a gong. Get it on. This is crap, right?
You know what? This is crap.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay, hello.
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 Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Hello.
Enough of the hello.
Ta-da.
Wait a second. Bang it going.
Bang the gong.
He's mentally retarded.
How's
your clicker? How's your pool cue?
Mr. and Mrs. Barbaro and all the ships at sea.
Oh, bastard.
That's what makes me a bastard.
You don't even feel sorry for the animals.
Mike, you know what? I'll wait because we want to talk about other things.
Yes, yes. Did he call you?
No, he didn't call me. This is not anything that's scripted between the two of us. We've not had a discussion.
Right.
No, I meant, did he call you when the horse he got hurt?
No, he did not.
No, before that I did.
Just to make sure I was watching in the pretty colors. I was watching, it was in high definition.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I'm watching the news today, the Today Show.
Yeah.
Third story. Okay, I understand. Big story.
Sure.
Horse breaks its leg.
Right.
Katie Couric's talking to the vet. Like the animal's a person.
Yeah, well, it's that story, Don.
How's he feeling? Well, he seems to be in good spirits. Do you think he'll have a happy, productive life? Well, we certainly hope so, Katie. Hold on a second. You know, what the plan really is to make his leg well enough so he can stand on all four.
Right.
Because if they can't do that, if horses can't do that, they die.
Right.
And have him get a nice big whoop.
If people can make money.
Right. If I'm the vet.
So the rich people can make money.
No, I say if I'm the vet, I say, what's the horse's name?
Barbaro.
There's a horsey Barbaro. Uh-huh. I say, I'm going to take you up to the Poconos and get you a big, nice dog, horse bed. Uh-huh. And I'm going to put you right on your back. Don't worry about your leg. You know, the only thing you got to do? Keep it up.
So what you're saying is you want the horse to actually do it in your favorite position.
Well, and also it would be the only position that the dog would be able to. He would lower the other horses onto him.
Much I don't like, think horses can do it that way.
Much like when we talked about how Tom and Roseanne. Remember we said that Roseanne would have to be lowered down onto Tom
right,
Arnold
right.
or vice versa.
Facing in the other direction.
So you favor B.O.B. Barbaro on bottom.
Well, I just think it's funny.
I saw a reality show one time where they actually were able to help, manually help the horse.
Sure. I think I rented that.
It was great.
I think it was on the porno channel.
It was like a Gastineau's daughter.
It was also hosted by NBC's Tom Hammond.
Let's just remember, I mean, everybody feels bad for the animal,
right.
and it's a bad break.
So to speak.
But you know what it is? Yeah. It's a step above being someone's steak.
Right.
Thank you.
That's and in many idea. Cases, it could even be a steak.
Well, I didn't want to...
Hank, look around, Cafe.
I didn't know you were looking for a plug this early in the show.
You have to cut costs when you have to cut costs.
That's right. I think I ate horse in France.
Did you really?
Yeah, it tasted horrible.
But a great sauce.
It was delicious.
A wonderful horse sauce.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Barbaro and all the ships at sea. See if you can guess where they have their pool cues. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rob. Don and Mike Show. New episode, everybody, this Monday.
Monday.
0522-06.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
No, he's not retarded.
Hi there, Buzz.
Hi.
Ran out of tunage.
Yeah.
Because tunage. Of the horse. The horsey.
Of course.
The horsey.
Barbaro.
The horsey. Oh, so sad. Everybody's so sad, man. Yeah, it's a horse.
Yeah.
And it was really sad.
Of course.
You know who's really sad? All the suckers that bought tickets for that horse.
Well, those suckers were betting on the favorite anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Oh, so they deserve to lose?
Sure. It was an easy pick. Barbaro was an easy pick.
Ah.
But I'm so crushed that we're not going to see a Triple Crown winner again. Not since 1978, Don.
Maybe next year, Mike.
Watching the split screen.
I didn't see the race, so I didn't see the whole.
And the dynamic.
Was there really a pall that was cast over the entire Pimlico racetrack?
I mean, I don't know. You know, I was watching. I only saw the replay too. I wasn't watching it live. I don't know. Here is TV expert Rob Spiewak.
Oh, good.
I heard on the post game that no one in the infield puked for almost 40 seconds.
Okay, thank you, Rob. Thank you. Goodbye. Goodbye now.
I had a Preakness party one time after the Preakness. Was the biggest, stupidest thing. Half the people coming to my party had gone to the Preakness, so they all showed up with, like, jester hats vomiting. It's the worst party I ever had.
Before we discuss horses.
Barbaro.
Horses that run and break their legs. And I've got some weekend stuff to get to. I know we have Mike's health, which is the paramount reason that we're going to start the show.
It ain't nothing but a thing.
Talking about Mike.
Mike O'Mara.
It ain't nothing to worry about.
But I just have to say, you know, we weren't here on Friday.
Right.
Because at Mike's request, we weren't here. He was... Well, he'll tell you. He wasn't feeling good, didn't feel right, didn't want to come in and do the show.
Requested that today. They denied my request today, unfortunately.
Yeah, we missed the chance to tie up the loose end with Lisa, the homeless lady who Buzz thinks is a bitch and the C word.
Did you ever get Gary Shandling on the air?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, he was good. Yeah, and you know what? She's a bunt. I just figured out.
Hey, that's a good combination
that's
of
a good
the words.
Combination.
I've never heard that before. That's brilliant.
Now, I'm trying to think how you'd work.
You can have a bunt cake.
Big,
No, I'm combining.
And the other word.
Oh, a bunt.
Okay.
Right.
Bunt.
Right. A bunt.
Buzz thinks that woman is not only a bitch.
Well,
but
I know that was Buzz's theory. I mean, so much. Yeah. I've missed so much, and I missed 2 hours on Thursday.
Nothing else happened on Thursday, except we did not hear from her after the show Thursday.
Yeah.
We did not hear from her Friday.
No.
Even though we knew that we weren't doing a show, we tried to contact her. Mm-hmm. We have not.
Now that
been
would
able
hold
to
with Buzz's theory, then.
Mm-hmm. We've not been able to get a hold of her. So Lisa the Homeless Lady, if you're out there listening, call in. It's desperate. We want to tie up this loose end.
I think Buzz probably offended her.
Well, now Rob tells me that when she did not know that there would not be a show Friday, because what happened is, and Mike will tell you here,
right,
he left. He wasn't feeling well. He left and went to the hospital. And, hey, how about all of us? Let's just stop for a second and think about this.
Yeah.
I know it happened very quickly.
Yes.
We got done with the break, and Mike said to me, God, I feel like I can hardly breathe. I got to go to the hospital. I said, okay, bye. Everybody else just started doing what we had to do to
right.
do the show.
Doing the show.
Thinking about Mike, but no one thinking, hold on a second. He's had what may be a heart attack, could be just about anything. Guy feels so awful, he's got to go to the hospital. And we let him just get in his car.
By himself.
Well, that was partially my fault.
By Mike.
That was partially my fault. I ran out of here.
Yeah, you did.
Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that it was stupid for me to get into the car until... Mm. Until the second wave kind of hit me on the way, and I should say on the way to wherever, because I had no idea where I was going.
You're right. Friends don't let friends drive dizzy.
But before Mike cut out at about 5:15.
You would have been the one I wanted to drive.
There you go. I would have helped.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, thanks. You know what? Yes. You would have been sitting there, your heart pounding like 1,000 beats a minute, and, you know, old lady would have gone, you know, ooh, yellow means slow. You know what I would?
You know what? You would have gotten me there under any circumstances. You would have gone
the
up
quickest.
On the sidewalk. You're right, aren't
the
you?
Quickest. Yeah. I would have pulled a Batmobile move for you. A Bat move. But anyway.
She left on Thursday, which was like in the 4 o'clock hour, I think.
Right.
She was to come back and spend one more night through our care in your office.
Right.
And we never heard from her.
No, we didn't. So
through our care.
That's right. We're looking.
You make it sound like a hospital.
It does.
So we really need this homeless lady, Lisa, to contact us. We have tried her cell.
I wanted to refute what Buzz had.
Yes, please. All we get is what, voicemail?
It goes direct to an automatic answer. And, you know, it could be that she was battling a limited number of minutes when we spoke recently.
Well, she should, if she's out there or any of these friends from her MySpace or whatever it is,
please.
Loser account that she's friends with, they should contact her and say, she should call in. Otherwise, the only taste that we'll have in our mouth will be of a nice bundt cake.
That's
and
right.
All credit will have to go to Buzz.
Any word from Joshua Tree on this woman at all?
Oh, yeah, he's standing by ready to discuss.
Okay.
He's not heard from her either.
We will.
But her sleeping bag is still here.
Oh.
We will talk to Joshua Tree.
Tasty.
So I know a lot of us were thinking maybe that behind the scenes there might be some planting of the fertile seed. On, you know, Thursday, maybe there would be an outside shot to crazy kids trapped in an office together.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Bottle of cheap wine.
Little baby on the way.
Right. But no,
little baby Joshua Tree.
But no such luck. So, Lisa, if you're out there, call. We got an APB on you. Okay?
Good.
Now, let's talk about Mike.
Yeah.
Michael.
Man, am I nervous.
Michael.
I am more nervous coming into this show to do this show than I've ever been in the 20 years we've worked together. And it didn't help that everybody, meaning well, has said to me when I came in today, are you okay? Are you okay?
Not me.
Are you okay? You didn't do it.
No.
You didn't do it.
No,
I don't think Rob
I saw
did it.
Others do
and
it.
And I don't think anybody that was close
right.
to me on the show did.
I just screamed, you're alive.
Kevin, the manic, pimply-faced Kevin,
uh-huh.
who was here, was, I apologize, Kevin, because really, I probably shouldn't have said to you what I said to you, but Kevin said, in the most concerned tone of all, said, are you okay? I said, if one more person says that to me, I think I'm going to drop him. And I realized that was a little harsh, and he felt bad, and then I shook his clammy hand, and everything was fine after that. But I know that, you know, that everybody was a little concerned.
Oh, God. So here's...
I was concerned.
Let
I
me
was
just,
scared out of my mind.
Let me
I'm
bring
still
you up.
Scared out of my mind.
Okay. Let me bring everybody up to where we were in the show.
Thanks, because you're going to need to help me with
this. And from my perspective, what happened, and Mike's got to take over.
Because there are occasional times on this show where I will do the 10-minute monologue, but that's your territory, and I would I would really rather do the Socratic method, which is what I often talk about on the show.
Socrates.
Because, Don, you and I do the Socratic method on this show. I basically want to take little small clumps of what happened to me and have you weave them together in a proper way. Because
I'd be glad to help.
There are chunks of time that I'm kind of zeroed in on, and there are other chunks of time I'm not really zeroed in on.
And just out of curiosity, what is this, Marcus Welby?
It's General Hospital.
General Hospital. Oh, General Hospital. Okay. All right. I get medical jokes. I knew it was something like that. I'm going to turn it off now.
It's lovely.
Okay.
So we're doing the show.
It's about 5 o'clock.
About 5 o'clock, and we're doing the Larry thing with the woman. I don't even know what it was. We're having a good time with it.
And then we had to pad because we were waiting for Gary Shandling to show up, and we were doing Larry King and then making a segue, and he was not calling when he was supposed to call.
And there was a very awkward moment because Rob was getting his balls busted by me. Like, come on, where is Gary Shandling?
Right.
And Buzz was doing what Buzz normally does, sits back and kind of waits for something to happen.
Right. And towards the end, when we're doing Larry King, my head was starting to feel heavy.
Huh.
So
I was starting to feel dizzy, and then I was starting to feel like a shortness of breath, and I was really starting to freak out. And we were doing what we do quite often without any problem at all, which is pad,
right,
where we're padding. And at this point, I'm not communicating to Don that I want him to end the break at all, but I'm just saying to myself, hang on. You don't want the lights to go out while you're on the air. You don't want to pass out during the show. And that is all that I
would
was
thinking
about. Would
have been good
about.
Radio, my friend.
Yeah, it would have been great radio. That was all that I was thinking. And really, if you want the more sinister feeling, it was not that I didn't want to pass out during the show. I wanted, if that was the moment, I didn't want that to happen during the show. I really didn't want that to happen.
Of course not.
And so I was... And for whatever reason, Gary Shandling wasn't calling,
see,
so we were going on and on and on.
So I had no idea. And we're padding, and finally it's like Rob is just sitting back in the corner like an animal licking his wounds, looking at his cell phone like, please ring and be Gary Shandling. Buzz is waiting for something to happen, and normally that's where Mike will help me out, and Mike was just standing there. I didn't know Mike didn't feel good.
No. Well, if you'd noticed that I was wearing a back brace because I got my old bad back that I always have. And so I took that off. I ripped that off. Then I changed to an upright sitting position. Then I changed to a sitting position. And I'm changing all these different seating positions to try to, you know, get my head to start feeling better.
Couldn't
and
tell.
It just nothing was happening.
I couldn't tell. There was one moment when I finally, nobody was saying anything. It's like, and I said, am I the only one trying?
Uh-huh.
You know, because Rob was doing his thing. Buzz was waiting.
Right.
And I realized at that time, I looked at you and really you looked pale.
Yeah.
And then I said, something like, what are we going to do? And
you made that statement, then I said something.
You said,
trying to be funny to help you out, which I didn't, wasn't really significant.
We went right to break.
Right.
And then here's what I remember.
I didn't give you 5 seconds,
and you fill us in. We go to break. Mike said, you said to me, I feel awful. I think I might have just had a heart attack. I think I'm okay, but I feel awful. I can't breathe. I got to go to the hospital now. Bye. I'm sorry. Bye. That was it, and you were out the door.
Gone.
Went out the door, went down into my car, realized that I still felt that way when I got into the car. I called Carla, and I get out, and as soon as I get into the car, you know, I feel kind of disoriented, and I don't know where I'm going. So I hop into the car, and I ended up on Main Street. And the only way I know where I'm going is I'm looking for a hospital sign.
Right.
It's a good thing you're surrounded by so many loving, caring friends.
Yes.
I mean...
Nobody
think about this.
Yeah, but I got out of here too quickly.
We didn't even know.
Yeah,
I was freaked out.
Leaving.
I just didn't know what to do. Yeah. I had no idea what to do. I was terrified. I was really terrified. I called Carly. Said, I'm having trouble. I'm feeling dizzy. I think I'm going to pass out. She said, are you driving? I said, yes, I am driving.
Yeah.
She said, do you know where you're going? I said, I think so, but I'm not really sure.
Right.
And the only way I got to any place where I should have gone.
Mahogany.
Right.
Do you know where you're going to?
The only way that I got to where I was going was because I looked at a sign that had the blue
Thank
hospital
God.
Sign.
Yeah.
And then I realized that I'm in that wonderful Fairfax traffic, which was just nonstop, and traffic was going nowhere. And I'm sitting there just going, oh, gosh. Oh, boy. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And I had no idea what to do. And
yeah.
I just pointed the car in the right direction and finally got close to where I remember that there was this... I guess they call them satellite urgent care facilities.
Right. Sure.
And traffic was stopped, was just stopped. It was insane. It was crazy. And I ended up going over the median and coming against traffic because I was 100 yards from this emergency care center. Mm-hmm. And that was the only thing I could think to do because I said, I'm not going to sit here 5 more minutes in traffic. Do you know where you're going to? Well, I was so nervous about doing this show to talk about this today.
No.
I already need a cold cloth.
Now hold on a second. Let's before
get me my tranquilizers.
Here's what.
Do you know where you're going to? Do you like the things?
Describe. Please to be
describing. See, that's why I asked for the Socratic method.
Please to be describing. And I'll try to do it like Mike Wallace last
night. Yes, Mike.
Because you don't have the
clip. Are you going to say come on like
come
Mike
on.
Wallace did?
Come on. And what's the other thing that is...
You know why I'm not doing that good a job of describing this? Because I'm still freaked out by it.
Well,
I am completely and totally freaked out by Friday. I realized, you know when I realized that? I realized that about midday yesterday. I started thinking about coming back in here, and because this is where it started... This is where, you know, and I know what it is. And let me first say, I was checked out physically. Everything is fine. Good. Everything is cool. It's really embarrassing to say what the doctors concluded that it is. And
It's Joe Artigan.
You can't work with him
anymore. Working with Joe Artigan.
Joe.
Well, Joe's experienced the same issues.
Yes,
you know. But Joe's taking his medicine for it. So it's,
now, hold
it's
on a
very
second.
Frustrating.
Here's the question I would have, because really, after you left when... You called during a break and told Rob you were at the hospital.
I was in the hospital bed when I talked to Rob.
Okay. We all thought that, not you were checking out,
right.
But thought that you were going to have a heart attack or that you were having one, because that's what you had said to me.
Yeah, so did I.
What were the symptoms that you were feeling that,
number one symptom
that made you think that?
The number one symptom during the show was that I thought I was going to pass out. I thought actually that the lights were going to go out.
Lightheaded.
Number two was I couldn't get a good breath. That lasted till about 8 o'clock at night, ooh, where I was actually trying to get the good breath. And the nurses in the ER over here at the Fairfax Satellite ER Chambers Road, they were fantastic, and they kept coming by, and I was on this monitor, and they kept saying to me, "Breathe." Breathe, breathe, which apparently is an issue for me in my regular life, that I have to take deep breaths like this. I always like to not have people hear me breathe on the show because I don't want to sound like a smoker. Right. So I actually now have to make an effort to take deep breaths more often. That's a self-diagnosis. But the symptoms were plain and simple. I thought the lights were going to go out. I thought I was going to pass out. I was going to lose consciousness. And because I've had that kind of lightheaded feeling with the pollen, I've had that before.
Right.
But this was one where it actually kept going, and I couldn't get it back. And I looked at you, and I finally said something. I don't even remember what I said, but it was, Don, I'm really feeling like I'm going to pass out. I think I'm having a heart. I got to go. And I was in that car. I was in my car inside of 5 minutes. I don't think anybody besides you and Rob even knew that I was leaving. Because I flew to my car. I actually got to my car quickly.
No, I didn't know.
When I got in my car, and the thing that was killing me is I have this. I'm on the phone with Carla. She's saying, you shouldn't be driving.
Right.
I say, well, I know I shouldn't be driving, but I am driving, and I want to get to this place. And I'm leaned over to the side in my car because I'm trying to position my body in such a way that I'm not going to feel this lightheadedness. And I'm trying to also, like, expand my chest. I'm trying to do all this stuff. And I get to... I can see the red sign that says emergency.
Okay.
And there is a median.
You got to make a left-hand turn, right?
You have to make a left-hand turn. You know the one I'm talking about.
Sure.
And you have to make a left-hand turn over the median. And traffic is stopped to such an extent where I can see up ahead that we go through two light cycles, which means traffic is so thick that it's not going to move. It's not going anywhere.
Mike, and it's bumper to bumper on a good-looking Friday or Thursday, whatever the day was.
It was 5 o'clock. It was right in the middle of it. And I make a decision at this point. I said, okay, is this going to be – I see an ambulance pull out of this ER. And I have two decisions in my somewhat confused state. Yeah. I'm going to get out of my car and wave to the ambulance, which to me would be absolute idiocy. Yeah.
Taxi.
Or I'm going to do, you know, not only is traffic not going in the direction I'm going, it's not coming the other way. Something's going on up there. There's no traffic coming at me. Traffic coming, and I would estimate, I'm going to say conservatively, I'm 70 to 80 yards away from the driveway of this place where I can walk in and at least tell somebody what's going on. And this is causing me more anxiety than I've had before. So I make an editorial decision at this point. I said, you know what? God, that's why I have a big... I'm so glad I didn't get that hybrid done, because I have a big, oversized SUV.
SUV, right?
And I go... And this is a big median, too. And I go over this thing, and I go, ga-jang, ga-jang. And I look to my right, and this lady is looking at me like, oh, my God, what are you doing?
Crazy, man.
And I see no cars coming until I just get moving forward. And then I don't see any cars coming because there's a Metro bus coming. And there is a Metro bus coming. And anybody that's ever dealt with a Metro bus, they only go really, really fast when you don't want them to.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, this guy was going super fast. So I absolutely punch it. I practically went into the parking lot of this ER on two wheels. And at that point, I don't think it was as close as I thought it was, but I see this thing coming like that, and I take a left, and I'm just flying. I don't know what's wrong. I'm still feeling the same way. As soon as I get to the ER, I don't even park in the parking lot, and I don't park in the little overhang where they bring the ambulances.
Where'd you leave your car?
There's another entrance to the ER. It says emergency, and I parked it right there, right in front of the doors, put it in park, took my keys, walked in, and as soon as I walk in, I get the lady, and she turned out to be very sweet. But the first reaction was, you know, I'm not bleeding from any major orifice, so all this is, like, internal,
right,
and it's inside of me. And I look at her, and I say, I have the presence of mind to say to the lady, excuse me. Yes, I'm not quite sure what's going on, but I think I may be having a heart attack. And she's like, all right, sign your name here. And I was immediately kind of amazed that she's probably heard this before.
Yeah.
I'm not first one, and I think if you're under your own power and you're walking in there. So I sign, and I sign my name. And then I'm just, I don't know whether to stand or sit, because the feeling is still there. So I sit down. As soon as my butt touched the seat, they take me back, and they did the little evaluation. They checked my blood pressure, which was extraordinarily high. That could have been a variety of things. That could be because of the circumstances. Who knows? But she then... I'm starting at this moment to calm down because I'm there and I realize I've got the care and I'm not in traffic anymore and I'm not on the show anymore and everything is seems to be okay, but I'm still doing a lot of this. I'm doing these moves where I'm going like that. And they're checking me. She then comes to me and she said, okay, do you feel like you could at least go out to the front and register? And I said, yeah, I think I can do that. I think, you know, as long as you think it's okay, that's half of my concern. So I go out and I register and I see they're like 5 to 8 people. And I'm like, at that moment I sit down and I go, do you think I was being too much? Yeah, like that. But yeah, I can do it, when I really felt the same heavy-headedness coming out. It came in like 3 different waves.
Okay.
The first one was right here in the studio. The second one was down right next to the World Mart, you know, where the Subway is, past the McDonald's.
Yeah, right.
That was the worst one of all, because that's the one where I really said, you know, I don't know, I was thinking
and
of what parking lot.
That's when you're behind the wheel, right?
That's when I'm behind the wheel, and Carla's saying, you know, what are you doing behind the wheel? And I, you know, they say when you're in a situation like that, that you have a moment of disorientation. I was disoriented because I didn't process where I was going.
Right.
I knew that there was something around here where you could go and get taken care of.
Right.
Look, you don't think when you're in that situation,
no,
you don't think
panicked.
To say, hey, John Norman or Joe, well, more John Norman, could you give me a ride to this place? I didn't know what the hell was going on.
You know where you're going to.
So they immediately, all I had to do was just hand my insurance card.
Good.
That's always very important. Always bring that with
good
you.
Good to have those.
And
you
I didn't
laugh immediately?
They
always do.
They no, actually, she looked at it and she said, I'm sorry, your money is not good here. There's the door right over there. And I get immediately after that, I handed the card. I didn't go to the waiting area. They said, okay, you can come back now. And it's at that point that they began to poke and prod. They gave me an IV. They gave me oxygen. And the whole time...
Did they take your temperature rectally?
The whole time, no. I asked for that specifically, too. I asked for that. As a matter of fact, I asked for a pool cue, and they weren't. They didn't want to deliver that. They checked me out. The nurses that could not have been nicer kept coming by. And at one point, this one nurse comes out of the little staging area over there, and she goes, she takes a big, deep breath, And I thought she had just started her shift because I was there right at 7 o'clock when they, I guess they switch over. And she takes this, she takes this big deep breath and she goes, breathe. And I'm like, and I say to her, I say, yeah, man, tough to work on a Friday, right? She says, no, you breathe.
Right.
Cause she's looking at whatever my little thing was that was saying, I don't know why they kept telling me to breathe, but they did give me that instruction probably four or five times.
Remember to breathe.
And I just,
one of our oldest jokes.
Breathe, Gordon.
The old program director, Cameron, when he was the producer of the Liddy show, he would have to hold up notes for G. Gordon Liddy, like, you know, remember to say phone number and, you know, your name is Gordon. You are doing a radio show. We used to joke that he would actually hold up a sign that said breathe now.
Breathe, Gordon, so you know to breathe.
Breathe now. So she was giving you the Liddy advice.
So they took the blood work. They did the EKG. Everything checked out. Everything appeared to be normal. And I'm like, during this whole process, I say, well, you know, Jesus, what, then why did I have that happen? And then that's when, at the very end of the evening, the doctor that came up to me, and are you ready? You're not going to believe this. Because okay. I knew that I was in good hands. I knew that there was nothing that could possibly happen to me under this doctor's care when you hear this doctor's name. Dr. Yastrzemski.
You're kidding.
I am not kidding. I am not kidding. And they said, hello. He comes up to me, and I...
So he's
that's
a
what
fag.
I thought. No, that's...
he's a fag.
No, seriously, for a brief moment when I heard that, I thought that maybe I'd missed something, and that I had actually checked out. Hello, I'm Dr. Yastrzemski. I said, oh, that's wonderful. This is Dr. Ramirez and Dr. Ortiz. They're right over here. Dr. Schilling will be seeing you later. And he said, okay, well, listen, what I want you to do is first thing in the morning, I want you to call your cardio person and give them a call. But I've prescribed something for you, and I've got your little printout. This is pretty much pointing to an anxiety-based disorder.
Mm.
Now, here's the deal. We're doing the show. We're waiting for Gary Shandling, but we are not in a particularly stressful uptight situation on the show that I was aware of.
You seemed light and chipper that day.
I was light and chipper, and that's why when it came out of nowhere. Now, when I was in the car, when I got rolling in, you know, on Main Street, and I was right there, I believe that was causing anxiety itself,
sure,
to feel that way. And when I got there, the blood pressure was off the charts. But you know, the bottom line is, it was, that's, they gave me a little something when I left. Mm-hmm. They gave me two tiny little pills, and they said, when you get home, you might want to take these. So I got home. I was feeling better. I was feeling better that I had been checked out, but
yeah,
I still had, you know, kind of a tight feeling and a little tough getting the breaths and stuff. And it was just, it was lingering. It lingered well into Saturday, actually, that I was, when I, you know, first started feeling a little bit better. And it was good all the way up until I got here today. So it was something that they gave me what's called, I think it's Ativan,
yeah,
which is a tranquilizer.
Right.
And I took the...
That's what they're giving to that horse, incidentally, with the bum leg.
That's right.
The
Ativan.
Barbaro?
Yeah.
Poor horse.
Yeah.
Yeah. That poor future piece of meat.
You know, when you've seen your life flash before you, Don, you think differently about these things.
He can relate to that horse.
You know, up there, you're going to get up there, and that horse is going to be looking right at you. It's going to be staring at you and saying, just a little sensitivity for my broken hoof. Hey, Ma,
it's a hoof. Okay,
so I get there, and they gave me this tranquilizer, which I did not take today.
Now,
yeah,
hold on. What's your long-term prognosis?
Well, my long-term prognosis is, I don't know.
Have you been to see another doctor?
No.
Why?
Because I've got an appointment with the cardio person, to check out my thicker.
But okay, so
and that's a specialist. Okay, I mean, could I get in today? Don't I wish? No, I can't.
No, okay.
I think she's available maybe July of 2020.
Well, that's handy.
Well, gosh, then maybe you should find another doctor.
No, this is a.
What about a head doctor?
No, this is the. Well, I've thought about that.
Well, no, if. Which, hold on, which do you think in your heart it was? No pun intended,
right
there. In your heart. It's only Monday. There's no off switch, folks.
I know.
Right.
In your heart, what do you think? Don't look at me like that. What do you think it was? Do you think it was really a panic attack, or do you think that maybe you were having some type of mild...
No, I mean, I was checked out thoroughly, and I have been. You know, I've been to a cardiologist before, and they did everything. They did all the work.
Okay,
that would tell you that.
Then.
So, frankly, I agree with their diagnosis, which was this can be brought on by an anxiety attack. This was anxiety. I don't know whether one would call it a panic attack, because a panic attack has different
right.
kind of symptoms, but this was an anxiety-based reaction.
Then
where
you got to find yourself like a Dr. Melfi.
But here are the factors that contribute to this, and I read up on this. This can be brought on by a physical ailment. Now, all you guys know that all week, this back thing has, you know, been something where,
yeah.
you know, I've been, you know, I can't sit in here and get really comfortable. It's something that, and that can bring on the type of symptoms I had. So I can only go with what they printed out on the little sheet that said that. And as far as getting a second opinion or going to see somebody, yeah, I think I will do that. And the first thing I'm going to do is go to the cardiologist, which is I got the earliest appointment that I could get. There are no other people that I can see right now that I'm going to go step by step by step. If the cardiologist says, yeah, I think this was an anxiety-based thing, you ought to see somebody, and they can maybe help you with that. You know, the more I think about it, this could be, you know, something that is an anxiety-based disorder. Or it could be, you know, if the cardiologist says, we want to take a look at this element of things, but they really have done that, and they ran all the tests. And so, I mean, you're only as good as what your doctors say. And now I know it's going to happen, because we're going to get the death sayers. They're going to be calling and saying.
No, okay, let me just, okay, then I'll be the devil's advocate, and I'll tell you so we
No, you're not supposed to do that. I'm under a great deal of stress.
So you don't have to take those
doctor's
calls.
Doctor's orders.
So you don't have to take those calls.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you've lost weight, you are overweight, you do drink, you don't exercise.
I do exercise.
But not yeah. as much. I mean, come on. I mean, really?
Yeah, but like, I mean, the exercise is not part of my weight loss, but as
no,
of
no, no.
over the weekend, yeah.
I'm talking about for stress reduction.
Okay.
I'm talking about anybody will tell you. And so you get past all of that. Then you say, Mike, how do you know it's a panic attack? You haven't been to a doctor, to a real doctor. You went to an emergency. This is what I would say to you
mm-hmm.
in real life. We've not discussed it. It's crystallized. You went to an ER, and no offense to them,
right.
but they're like working on the fly.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't take, and I've been to the ER, no offense to them, I never take their opinion. It's like they process people like McDonald's in there. If I had gone to an ER and thought I had a heart attack.
Oh, this is stressing me out.
Hold on.
Jesus.
If I had thought I had a heart attack
really
and went to an emergency room.
Actually, this is actually calming me down.
Went to an emergency room, and on Friday night they let me go. And then I didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm just going to go on because I got a piece of paper from a guy at the emergency room.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the question is, how come
would
you're not...
Would you go to a general practitioner who you knew was not going to give you any information that was new, or would you want to go to a cardiologist?
Or are you just... I say this as your friend. Are you afraid of what you might find out?
No.
I've
been to a cardiologist three different times.
You are afraid about the situation, right? I mean, about the way you felt? You were scared about that?
I was, when we were in the office and everybody was talking to me and everybody was coming up,
yeah.
I got a little bit of it again there too. I really did. I'll be honest with you. Because it was everybody just going, you know, President Hughes, who comes up, ready to get back to it? You know, comes in with that, and it was just kind of weird. And then three people were all saying the same thing, and I had anxiety about coming in and telling the story
right.
more than I've ever. A million worse things have happened to me, really, in my life that I've come in here and I've relished it. I'm calm now. Before the show, when I came in here, I was freaking out. I didn't tell you guys that because I didn't want to freak out, because I didn't want to tell this. So to answer your question, am I worried about this? Am I a little freaked out about this? Yes. Second part of that, do I think I know what it is? Yeah. And because I know what it is, it doesn't freak me out that much. Because I really do believe that this is probably an anxiety-based deal.
As your friend, I would say to you, where's your medical degree?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what you're telling me is, and I say this as your friend, I'm
right.
not busting your chops. You could turn it on me anytime you want to. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, I'm not trying to be the adversarial. You think you agree with what one guy at an emergency room said. You think you're okay.
Based on the fact that...
But you felt the... But you had
can I answer your question?
You had the feeling today.
Can I ask your question?
Am I the problem?
Can I answer you the question seriously?
Am I the problem?
Well, no, but you're being a little bit unfair to me here, and I want to answer the question.
I'm not trying to be unfair.
You asked me, you know, I'm not a doctor. I have had, on a regular basis, my ticker checked out. I've had it, you know, checked out. I also have my information went from the ER doctor to this doctor who was briefed on the situation, and I asked the person, I didn't speak with the doctor directly, but made the appointment. She said, well, she doesn't think it's anything that you need to get in, but she would like to see you.
Okay.
Anyway, now, the other answer to that question is, so from that standpoint, I do agree, based on circumstances and the way I felt, that this is part of it. Do I think that that might require some more medical care on my part as far as the way I handle this? Yeah. Oh, right now, I'm sitting there with four Ativan in a box.
Okay.
And, you know, that's it. And I plan to do more than that.
Then you clarified that. Thank you. I only ask because I don't want to come in and do the show by myself. I don't want you checking out. I've already been through that with one person. So I'm just being blunt with you about this.
I'm also open-minded. I take anybody's advice as far as how anybody else would handle this. I think I've done everything that I was supposed to do.
Even if you... So I go with you. You're going to see your cardiologist. You're sure it's not your ticker.
Somewhere in June.
Okay, but you're sure it's not your ticker, and you believe that it's a panic attack.
Mm-hmm.
It happened to you on Friday, on Thursday, disabled you from work on Friday. You had to take it easy over the weekend. You had another panic attack, a mini one, or you got the feeling before the show today.
Right, right.
Why wouldn't you see a doctor to address that problem? And I don't know if I'm talking about a general practitioner, if I'm talking about a Dr. Melfi type. I guess
that's
the answer
to that question, because one person I know that I would talk to about this, I don't, and this is, I'm not throwing anybody under the bus here. I don't want to slam, you know, my primary care physician, but my primary care physician is, you know, I've got a bad cold or I got a scratchy throat. I go to him for that. I wouldn't feel confident dealing with him for this.
If I
had a GP who I could go to, you know, right now the cardiologist who is probably more familiar with these type of situations is, you know, who I've chosen to see. If I, you know, continue to, you know, feel like I should go to somebody, I would do it. Right now I think I'm doing the right thing. Right now I'm pretty confident that I've gotten the right kind of medical care.
But here's the I know well Hello. Since Frida died, I take Xanax.
Yeah.
I take a Xanax when I feel anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
I found out you can't just go to the doctor, a GP, and say,
hey, I need Xanax.
Yeah, you know what he says? I'd love to give it to you, but first you got to go see a head doctor,
right,
who then will call me and tell me, yes, that you're anxious so that I can prescribe it. I mean, that's kind of, if you do have a problem with stress,
right,
or anxiety,
right,
at least that's how...
Your GP is supposed to quarterback for all the other doctors.
Because
he's supposed to coordinate all the doctors.
My worry with you is, I swear to Christ, on Frida's life, I'm being honest with you, you got like four of those pills left.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What if you don't see a doctor and you take them, and if it's this week or next week or whatever, and then you have a panic attack and you don't have, not that the pill's the answer.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right, right, right.
It's just... That's my concern.
Well, yeah, that's a valid concern, and I'll take it to heart, and I'll try to, you know,
I mean,
maybe make a few phone calls and try to figure it out, you know, what I'm going
to
do.
I'm trying to be supportive. I'm not
trying to bust your
balls.
I don't want to pull back the curtain at all, but I will and say that, you know what, you know, you, as far as I'm concerned, what you needed to do for me on Thursday night and Friday was, you know, was absolutely the perfect thing. If anybody calmed my ass down. I mean, you did. You really did. I was very, very... Don and I had a long talk. I'm not going to go into the details of that long talk, but the fact is, you know, you mentioned when you've been talking about what you've dealt with that, you know, you're kind of a new person, and I don't think that 5-10 years ago we had that conversation. I don't think that happens. I don't think that happens by a long shot. So when you say that to me, I mean, I know you say it out of genuine concern. Know this, that I'm also, you know, reacting to something that's really brand new to me, that I've really, you know, I have been, when I've gone through, you know, separations and difficulty in relationships, I was, you know, that's when I headed down that road of take this, take this, take this. You know that because of that, It's a very, very tough thing for me to think, you know, take a pill and you'll do it.
And I'm not advocating that that's the answer.
You know, there was part of me before the show, you know, and I don't know whether that's the answer either. Do I think that maybe it would be a good idea to see somebody? Yeah. Do I think that that person is my particular guy? No. I'd be welcome, you know, and I'll pick both of your brains because I know you know lots of people that do that. You know,
I have a few names I could.
You know, seriously, it might be time for me to do that because of, you know, it's all about feeling confidence in that particular area. And you know, and I just didn't, when I was asked to give a name of a physician, I went right to this cardiologist.
Right.
This is the person who has treated me for this. It was not the other person. And because specialists are specialists are specialists, you know, well, the first availability is that. And because it was not, and it wasn't.
Okay.
I have to be honest with you.
Okay,
you can't file this under
heart attack. I got you.
You can't. So, I mean, they're not going to see you the next day. They're going to see you when their schedule opens up.
No, you know, now that you're mentioning this, this is like, well, you're like Jack Nicholson in that movie with Diane Keaton.
But he had a real one.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the second time.
Mm-hmm.
When he sees her in the restaurant and he gets anxious and he's positive he's having a heart attack.
Right.
And he gets there and he's saying, you know, whatever he's saying, my heart's pounding out of my chest. And they give him a Valium or something. They say, you know, hey, listen, pal,
right,
you know, you're anxious, dude.
Right.
I mean, I guess, you know, that's you.
What? Let me ask
to
you this.
An extent. Because I mean, you're, it's all of us.
Look, I know you mean well. If you were me, seriously, because I'm open to, you know, I'm an open-minded person. There's one thing I can do, and that is I can step back and I can look from the outside in and evaluate my situation and take all the information and then make an educated decision. I thought up until this point, you know, really listening to what you had to say, and obviously you agree with him, Buzz, maybe I was doing, you know, I had done the right thing, that, you know, getting this appointment, getting this set. You're saying, you know, maybe perhaps a little more urgency on my part to just get this figured out, what's going on. What would you do? I mean, I'm not sure I have a GP that I'd want to
first
contact.
First off, his wife works for a doctor. If that recommendation is not good enough,
mm-hmm.
you know my friend Tom, who knows 1,000 outstanding doctors.
God, I play golf with enough doctors.
And
I know that.
And right. Put on top of that, you know,
I got a goddamn relative that's a doctor. So I mean, maybe.
And I got my
own. I just hate doctors.
I got my own Dr. Melfi.
I do hate doctors. You know.
Well, but that's.
But you know what? Here.
But you got to go to the doctor.
I got to really pull back the curtain here, okay?
Okay.
Oh, God.
Pull it.
My life is an open book.
Pull it.
Oh, this is hard.
Pull it.
This is very hard.
Pull it.
I know you're talking about a Dr. Melfi. And the Dr. Melfi that I saw when I went to see him, we're talking, when we say Dr. Melfi's, we're talking, there's a difference between psychologists and psychiatrists,
absolutely,
okay?
Right.
Psychologists are people that can counsel you, that can give you advice. Psychiatrists prescribe medication. They're
a
medical doctors.
The time,
they're
yeah.
MDs,
right.
And they can do that.
Right.
That's the difference. When the only time in my life that I ever talked to somebody doing that was without a doubt the worst part of my life. And because of that, I hear that. I hear the idea of seeing somebody like that. And I just say to myself, oh, God, I don't want to do this. But you know what? It's
dude,
like it's like mechanics.
I can
it's
tell
like grocery stores. It's like you get good ones, you get bad ones. And it's not that this guy was a bad guy. It just happened that he prescribed stuff for me at a time when it was just
difficult. On the Paxil and the fact that you
know what, that was a horrible time for me.
Right, and that was because of you going through your divorce and then
it was also counselors saying to me, you're bad because of this, and I was getting completely snowed, and I, you know what, that takes a long time to get by that because you put your hands, you put your trust in somebody that's supposed to help you, mm-hmm. and then, you know, they're God, oh, don't! I could go on for 3 hours about that.
Right,
but maybe I should do that. Maybe I should do that in a psychiatrist's office.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, there's no secret that people that do what we do in on any level, you know, that most of us are pretty screwed up, and I don't want to say screwed up. It's just a normal thing to do.
No, you're screwed
up. Lots of people.
Well, of course I'm screwed up.
You're totally screwed up.
I'm totally screwed up. I know I'm screwed up.
God.
It's just the first time that my screwed upness manifested itself. But you know what, boy? You always talk about this, too.
What?
I feel as good as I felt in 3 days. I feel right now.
Now, if I could give you one
last... The load?
Last...
Where is it?
No, it's
gone.
It ain't gone. It ain't gone because, man, as your friend, you got issues. I know you've got issues that I would not bring up on the air, and you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
We all do.
That I think... I've listened to you talk on the couch for long enough.
Yeah.
The problem is right there,
mm-hmm.
right in your head.
Mm-hmm.
If you felt good opening up on the radio and getting some of it out, and I'm not an advocate of, you know, say laying on the couch, and man, let someone who doesn't know anything about your situation hear it and get some objective advice. You know, or at least somebody to listen.
Yeah.
Who's not going to judge you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, as good as it feels to get it out here.
Right.
I mean, you know, you can't say everything you feel here.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be 100% honest.
No.
You know what I mean.
I can't pour my soul out.
Well, you could.
I mean, really, though.
I think it would be fantastic.
I come from a background where you kind of, you know, maybe it is the New England thing a little bit. You don't let those things out,
right?
You deal with it. And it's something that, there are two things that happened to me on Thursday when I was sitting there Thursday night. Number one, I realized early on that, that it was not necessarily that, you know, obviously mental things can manifest themselves physically, but that I didn't have the ticker issue that I really thought about for a long time. I think I probably was sold on the fact that that wasn't the problem. Number two, it was the first time in my life that I realized that everything that goes on in a person's life, if it's significant, can manifest itself physically. And with that realization, I realized that maybe you're right. I should seek out the right way, and I probably could do a better job of that, and I will do that. I will try that.
And you should do it because, you know, without being a faggot with you, you know, there's people that care about you.
Oh, did I, look, know? And you know what? It
you're
really...
You're a big, stupid F, and
today was
take care of yourself.
Today was a little bit much coming in here, but, you know, it's so funny. I don't mean any offense to anybody here. I really,
especially
really
Orientals.
I don't really mean offense.
No disrespect.
People, you know what? The people that know me the best didn't deal with it. You know, didn't say, hey, what's going on? You knew that I was going to talk. You know, you knew I was coming in here. I don't think I communicated to you how difficult this was going to be for me to come in and talk about it. It's much easier now to talk about. It really is. But everybody, you know, was extremely supportive. And, you know, no, the answer is I didn't know that. You don't know that. That's the way I live my life. You know how I am. I cruise around and I just think, hey, do your job, show up. You said this to me before. You know, you realize how many people do care. And I appreciate that. And I think that I will take your advice and I will make some phone calls. I'll make some phone calls tomorrow and let you know how that goes.
Just, it's everybody's advice to you, I think.
Yeah, I see. But it was not done out of fear or neglect or anything. It was done because I kind of thought I had done everything I should do. And now hearing you guys talk, it kind of says, well, maybe I should do a couple more things to do that. So I'll pick your brain.
Good.
We're not going to the same shrink though. That's not going to happen. I don't think that's a, you know.
Why?
Because he
already knows all about you.
It'll save a lot of time, really.
he's got a dossier on you. Okay, Mike.
But seriously, to Don, to Rob, and to Buzz, all of you guys were very, very nice over the weekend, and just extremely supportive. Especially, you know, Don, and when you said to me, "Hey, just chill out on Friday," and because that's what you need to do, because you know, I would have come in here on Friday and tried to do it.
See, that's the honest part. That's when said to Mike, yeah, we do the show, no problem, right? Mike said, yeah. I could tell right away. I said, you know, why don't you just take the day off? And then you said, well, okay, I guess. And then I said, what do you want? Would you feel more comfortable? And you said, I would feel so much stress if you guys did the show without me. And I thought you were being very honest, you know.
Yeah, it's true. I don't know why I've always felt, you know.
And what the hell? I mean, I was thinking on Thursday night, you're talking to me about having maybe a heart attack or a panic attack. And when we're talking about doing the show Friday, you're saying, you know, if you guys go in and do the show without me, I'm going to be stressed out. But on the other hand, I really can't come in and do the show because I'm going to be too stressed out. But I want to come do the show. But if you do it without me, I'm going to be more stressed out.
I realized about noon on Friday that your call as far as me not coming in on Friday. Because you don't think, you know, when you're in a situation like that, I don't care anybody that's ever been there, you can't help. It's a normal feeling to feel guilty because you're like, God, there's sick people in here.
Right.
God almighty, there's an old lady like from a nursing home that broke her arm that was just howling, and she was in real pain. And I'm just like, I'm sitting there, you know, going, oh, gee, I've got an elevated heart rate. It's like you feel guilty. And I still feel guilty a little bit.
Yeah,
but I also know at the same time that I did the exact thing, the proper thing. Mm-hmm. I did the right thing because I wasn't...
Except for the driving part.
Except for the driving part. Everybody has told me that. So that's it. So I'll let you know how it goes. And I hope I find a doctor. I hope I find a doctor.
Do we have a plan now? Like if this happens again, do we know who's going to drive you? Are we all set?
My plan right now, Buzz...
Joe.
...will be to get a general practitioner...
Joe.
A new GP that I'm going to go to and talk to.
I think Buzz was speaking about.
Yeah, no,
when you have your next on-air attack.
All right, who wants to be the driver?
We need a designated
Joe.
Driver.
Because, look, the bottom line is you have
Joe.
To be here with Rob and Buzz to do the show.
Right. I think a driver is the wrong way to go. I think we should trade out and have a doctor here all the time. And we can trade it out.
We could trade it?
Sure.
Okay. Will it be that doctor that was in the Cannonball Run movies?
Why don't we just get a station ambulance? Put the wraparound logo. Us on one side, the junkies on the other.
The ambulance, but we'll put your pictures backwards, so when you look in the rearview mirror, you look right.
All right, we got a break. A decent producer would have said we really should break, even though Mike's pouring his soul out.
Hey, come on. Stop the fighting. Stop the fighting!
Now look what you've done.
Look what
Jesus.
You've done.
Look what we've done.
Look what you've done.
Okay, stop it!
I can't feel my left hand.
Mike's Breakdown is brought to you by Head On.
Yes.
Head On products available without a prescription at retailers nationwide. Try Head On today. That's for Westwood One.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So.
Jesus, we made it.
Yeah. Made Congratulations. It. You made it through 1 hour.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, that's that 5 o'clock hour that I'm shooting for right here.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes.
Glad you're okay. We'll be right back, everybody.
Number 15 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show.